Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. O God, the protector of all who trust you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she was purifying herself after her period. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite," and Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the people fared and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all his servants of the Lord and did not go down into the house. Then they told David, "Uriah did not go down to his house." David said to Uriah, "You've just come from a long journey. Why do you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah remain in my booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As your soul lives, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. On the next day, David invited him to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. And in the evening, he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him, so that he may be struck down and die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Denunciation of godlessness to the leader of David. Psalm 14. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike, perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge of all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion, when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power, may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be all glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After this, Jesus went to the other side of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough, because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land they were going. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we are going to look at one of the well-known miracles that Jesus ever did. It is the feeding of the 5,000. It is the only miracle that is mentioned in all four Gospels, the Gospels of Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John. As you look at the four different accounts of this miracle, it helps to understand the setting a little bit better. So let me try to help you. Jesus knows at this point that the religious leaders want to kill him. And we also know that John the Baptist was just beheaded by King Herod. The tension is rising against Jesus and his disciples. The persecution is coming. But Jesus is still ministering to thousands of people in the Galilean area. Jesus has drawn a huge crowd of people, and the numbers keep increasing no matter where he goes. They are very impressed by his power to heal. His words made sense, and he had an authority and a power that brought about healing and hope and liberation to them. Unfortunately, Jesus and his disciples have no downtime. But Jesus comes to a place where he is tired. We can probably say they are peopled out. They try to escape from the crowds on a boat, but the people figured out where he was going, and they raced on foot and were waiting for him for when he arrived in Galilee. Also, this was the time of Passover feast for the Jews. That made for even more people to be following him. At this point in time, it was safe to say that Jesus is at the height of his popularity in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples managed to get away to a mountainside for a quick reprieve. It didn't last long because when Jesus lifted his eyes, he saw a great multitude coming towards him. In our gospel for today, the crowds had spent the day with Jesus and the sun was setting. We are simply told that Jesus had compassion on all the people, for they were hungry and far from home, and the day was almost over. Jesus was determined to care for them, but he also wanted to toy with his disciples. And there is a reason for Jesus doing this, and we will find out why. Our Lord turns to Philip, who lived in the area, and asked him where they might find food for the people. Shocked by the request of finding enough food for the thousands that were there, Philip argues for sending the people away. He says, "Lord, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." So the question is, why did he ask this of Philip? To test him. Why, we ask? Was Philip not with Jesus when he turned the water into wine in Cana? Was he not with Jesus when Jesus was healing the sick and feeding the hungry in other places? You see, Jesus already knew that he was going to feed the 5,000, but he was hoping his student would pass the test. Was Philip a man of faith? He was probing Philip to learn the depth of his faith, and has he grown in faith while being with Jesus? Philip's response should have been, "Lord, you are God. You want to know how to feed these people? Just like the way you turned water into wine, you, God, can provide and create all the food that these people need." Wouldn't you think he can say that? But he doesn't. It looks like Philip can't even consider the fact that Jesus can provide. It doesn't even cross his mind. He simply thinks of how much money it would cost. He's not thinking of the supernatural. He's thinking of the natural, the earthly. His other disciple, Andrew, says to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these among so many?" Again, Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but it came down to whether Andrew and Philip had faith in Jesus. See, Jesus wanted them to know that it was absolutely humanly possible to feed this many people, even though it was going to take an incredible miracle from God. This boy gave him his bread and fish over to Jesus. Maybe he had faith in Jesus. But his contribution was blessed by the Lord and is a key element in the story. John tells us that Jesus had the people sit down, working with a shared portion of barley bread and 2 pieces of fish, sardines, the food of poor people. Jesus fed the multitude in a way that has never been forgotten. Whatever happened that day in the wilderness was not a surprise to Jesus, but it definitely was for those who did not believe that so many people can be fed with such meager resources. John captures the change in the vision from "How can we serve so many?" to the conclusion, "All ate to their fill, and still there was food left over." Actually, 12 full baskets were filled with the broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves. The 12 baskets of leftovers are more food than Jesus started with, one basket for each 12 tribes of Israel. The supply is abundant. God provides plenty to meet our needs. In this miracle, we saw the way Jesus gave. He didn't just give enough to get by. He gives in abundance. But isn't that his nature? He gives more than you need. Seeing this miracle, the people were saying, "This is truly the prophet who comes into the world." In verse 15, we read, "Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountainside, this time by himself." They thought that Jesus being their king, they can possibly get out of the oppression of Rome. Their lives would be better. After all, he is the prophet. In fact, all they wanted was help for themselves. So if you really think about it, why did they really come to Jesus in the first place? They wanted to be healed, fed, and now they want to make him their king, their earthly king? So what does he do? Jesus leaves. You see, they believed that Jesus was the giver, but they didn't believe the second point, and that Jesus was the gift. Jesus is the giver, but Jesus is also the gift. He doesn't need to be an earthly king. After all, he is the King of Kings. He doesn't need their temporary reign, for he reigns eternal. Also, as much as they wanted him, Jesus knew that many would turn their backs on him and walk away. Later in John, Jesus will tell Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And here the people are trying to set up for a world thing. Jesus came not to give us bread, but to be our bread. He is the gift. We need to get a grasp on who Jesus is and who Jesus isn't, because you cannot make up who Jesus is. Jesus is not your good buddy. He's not just some famous celebrity, and he's not just a caregiver catering to your every desire and whim. He's not like a genie in a bottle that you just rub and make wishes and they are granted. He's not just a miracle worker pulling off miracles. Not just a prophet, as the people are saying. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. I can safely say that if you try to force your agenda on him, he won't let you. He'll walk away. He's not just a giver. And it's not like you say to him, "Serve me, serve me." We got it backwards. We serve him. He's God. He withdrew from these people because he knew what they were thinking. And he knew they weren't getting it. And they didn't believe correctly. So let me ask you a soul-searching question. Do you believe in Jesus for who he is, or just for what you want? And then when you don't get it, and you prayed for it, even though you prayed for it, you suddenly questioned him. You questioned his existence, his goodness, and you are shaken in your so-called belief. And shame on us for being people like that. We don't want to be like the fickle crowd, correct? Or even at the moment like his disciples, as they weren't showing any belief in him. We want to be people who trust him. So let me say one thing. Jesus is God. Jesus is God and nothing less. He is then to be trusted as God. That's called faith. He is to be worshipped. He is to be praised, and he is to be exalted above all else. Scripture says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord." So you might as well do it right from the beginning. That's worshiping. Father, thank you for sending Jesus in the world, and thank you for the gift. He is Lord. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen.
As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, "Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to the true knowledge of himself, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all that they do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give you thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen. May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking out against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see everyone as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.